not like a cell phone. So I try to do this off. Just kill that stinking thing, man, before you get going. And you know what really gets me is get through a message and you get ready to give the invitation. Right at the beginning of the invitation, somebody's cell phone rang. And what even gets me more is that when they sit there and they say, "Hello," you know.
I've seen that happen.
I thought of a lady one day, she gets up out of the church where I was preaching, she stands up, "Hello," and she's got a conversation, and this Brother Steve Ward out in Orlando, Florida, has got the all the way to the back, you know, talking on that cell phone as she's walking out there. You could hear her outside when she got out the door, man. It was something else. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God, amen. We'll be to the book of 1 John tonight, in your Bibles, 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. And the Lord is good. I was telling a preacher today, and I told Brother Kramer this morning that is it Kramer? Brother Kramer this morning, I told him that don't hold me any responsible for anything I preached this year, because I can't find anything I preached here last year, amen. So you might get a double dose. I don't know. I hope not. I've got over 300 messages that I take with me all the time. And I've got a briefcase full upstairs. I've got an iPad full back there of new stuff. And so sometimes I get, the Lord puts a thought on my mind and he says, "Go there." And I'm thinking, I can't remember if I preached that here or not. So anyway, I don't think I preached this one here before, but we will be into this text this evening. We already prayed. It's been a sweet time. It has been a sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Well, I enjoy that, Pastor. Too many times we don't have that anymore. And too many times we focus in on so many other things and we forget that sweet hour of prayer. Well, we ought to have that when we come in the house of God. By the way, we ought to have that in our personal lives. Amen. That sweet hour of prayer. The time we just get along with the Lord. And for you, sometimes that hour of prayer might be 3 or 4 minutes. Sometimes it might be a half hour, you know. And like a Bible college student, this professor said, "I'm going to ask you at the end of the year how much time you spent to pray, and I want you to pray 1 hour a day. And when at the end of the year, you have to be honest with me, if you pray 1 hour a day," he said, "you will pass my class. I don't care what you learn, you will pray. If you pray 1 hour a day, you'll pass my class." And he had a student who was there, and he said the first night he got down on his knees in his room, and he started praying. And he said, "I thought I was all done, man. I prayed a long, long, long time," he said. And he said he looked at his watch and only 5 minutes passed by. And he said, "So I prayed." He said, "I just went back to praying again." He said, "By the time I'd done, only 10 minutes have passed." He said, "Every 5 minutes, I thought for sure I'd prayed an hour by now. What can I pray about?" He just kept on praying. He came to that hour and he finished up. He said, "But I'm going to tell you what," he said, "after about a month of that," he said, "I was praying for an hour every day and did not have a problem praying for an hour every day. And sometimes I'd even pray longer because I knew that I just thought I had to," amen. And pretty soon that hour was going by like it was only 5 minutes, amen. Now I think that's, and did he pass that class? I'm assuming the professor kept his word, amen, at the end of the year. And I don't know if that's just a story that somebody said to get people encouraged to pray, but it works for me, amen. And I say, praise the Lord. Well, here in the book of 1 John in chapter 5 tonight, I'm going to just begin reading a few verses. And I want to preach a message to you. I've just simply entitled, "Do You Believe What the Scriptures Teach About Jesus?" And then we're going to come down through here, and then when we come to the end, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to make some other thoughts along this message to tie some things in. So you just hang in with me, amen. I used to preach about 45 minutes to an hour preacher. I think now I preach about 30 to 40 minutes at the most, amen. And somebody asked one time, "So what's the longest you ever preached, Brother Mike?" And I said, "Yep, I'll tell you, it was in 2006, and I was in Papua New Guinea with two interpreters, and I preached 2 hours and 55 minutes, and I was wore out by the time I was done, man, you know." In fact, I was about ready to fall asleep when they were interpreting for me. He would interpret in one language, then they would interpret to another language, maybe it was something else, you know. And I'd be up there about ready to fall asleep when I was preaching, amen. Well, do you believe what the Scriptures teach about Jesus? Begin with me, if you would, please. Let's begin in verse 1 of this text, where it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, let me just stop for a minute and just put a thought in your mind on this. When you understand when this was written, you either believe that he was the Christ, God in the flesh, amen, not just the Son of God, but God in the flesh. You believe that he was the Christ, or you didn't believe that he was the Christ. Many people today will tell you, Pastor, they believe that Jesus is God. Amen. They believe that He is Christ, but they're not saved. They're not born again. They've never put their faith and trust in Jesus. So when we're looking at this text here, this thought here, we're going back to teachings 2,000 years ago when they would say, you believe this. So, and probably no problem here tonight, I hope, that you believe that Jesus is Christ. He says, whosoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. How do you love the brethren? Amen. You ought to. Amen. So he could not. Someone wrote this. In fact, it was Pearson wrote this on his what they called his exposition of the creed. He said this: He could not be our Jesus, God, Savior, unless He were the Christ. For He could not reveal the way to salvation except He were a prophet. He could not work out that salvation except He were a priest. He could not confer that salvation upon us except He were a king. He could not be prophet, priest, and king except He were the Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the Christ? I'm glad that it's Him, all Him, and not you and not me. Amen. I'm glad it's all about Him. Look at 1 John chapter 2. This is 1 John chapter 2. And you know, this is basic Bible teaching. If you've been saved any length of time, you know these things. But can I tell you, let me just make this statement to you. When I first got saved, Pastor, I did not know that Jesus was God in the flesh. I didn't know that. But when I read it, I believed it, amen. But when I was first saved, I heard about Jesus and how He died for my sin, and how He would forgive me and save me by His grace if I would just put my faith and trust in Him and call upon His name. But I had no understanding that who He really was, other than He was the Son of God. That's what I did. And that He was died on the cross, and He was buried, and then rose again the third day. And so I put my faith in Him. And then I read in the Scriptures and heard a preacher read in the Scriptures that He's the Christ, and that He's God in the flesh. Look what it says in 1 John with me in chapter 2 real quick. We're just a couple pages back in your Bible, maybe one page back. 1 John chapter 2, beginning verse 22, he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And by the way, there are some groups out there today that do not, but they say they're going to heaven, but they do not believe that He is the Christ. They don't believe He is God in the flesh. In fact, there are some out there today who not only don't believe that He is God in the flesh, but they believe that God had two sons. They had the devil, Satan is one, and Jesus is the other, and neither one can save you. Amen. They believe that He's just a fleshly son, that's all. They don't believe He's God in the flesh. So he says here, who is the liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist. He didn't say He's the antichrist, because that antichrist is not on the scene yet, but he will be one day. But he is an antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Amen. So you acknowledge what? You acknowledge that God is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh for you and for me. So do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That's usually an answerable argument in a group of independent fundamental Baptists. We believe what the Scriptures teach. Amen. The second thought, though, look down to verse 5 with me in the same text where he makes this statement in 1 John. I went the wrong way. I need to get back to the page where I was at. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, down in verse 5, he makes this statement. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Not only that He is the Christ, God in the flesh, but that He is the very Son of God. You say, explain that to me, Brother Mike. I couldn't justify it. Amen. There's no way I could really give you a explanation that would really make you understand that Jesus is not just God, but He is the Son of God. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. We just have to simply believe what the Word of God says. Somebody says, okay, you can't, well, how can you explain it? I don't think there's any way to justify explaining that. Some have used ice, water, and vapor, you know. Some have used time, present, past, and future. You know, some have used it that way, but it's all time, you know, or it's all water, you know. It don't matter to me. To me, it's not even that good, amen. That sounds good, but that doesn't really explain it. Because how can the Son of God be born and still be God? Well, by faith, I believe what the very Word of God teaches, amen. So we have to accept it. So do you believe that Jesus not only the Christ, but that Jesus is the Son of God? Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, down to verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And once again, now listen to me. You have to go back and think about when this was written, because there are many people today who will say, well, I confess Jesus as God. I confess him as the Son. I confess, and can I tell you, there's a group out there today that have overtaken Christianity, basically, and been that way for almost 2,000 years, Pastor. And when you go back and study history, and they believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, amen. But they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's all in works. I hope you believe and understand that not only is he the Christ, but he is the very Son of God. Now look with me, if you will, down to another thought here. He says down in verse 11 of this same text, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And I'm going to, well, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the next question I want to ask you, believe that he's the Christ, you believe he's the Son of God, you believe that eternal life comes only from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Because we have so many groups out there today that have, and by the way, let me just, I'm not going to be mean about this, but let me just say that Buddhism and Mohammedism do not believe in the same God that you and I believe in, right? Do not. And so therefore, we have to always come back to what the very Word of God says, what the Word of God teaches. So do you believe eternal life comes only from Jesus and him alone? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You go over to the book of Acts, and what's he tell you over there in the book of Acts? It'll come to me in the second preacher, because I just forgot it, amen? Anybody's mind does that now like mine? You know, you just forget. You forget where you're at or forget what you want to say. Well, he says, as is written, there's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You can only be saved through the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. Nobody else. No other way. No shape, no form. Amen. And can I tell you, there's some good people in the world, amen, that aren't saved. They're, in fact, they behave better sometimes than many Christians that I know who say they're saved. Amen. And they're good people. But if they, I don't care what they believe, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in him, my friend, they will not get to heaven. It's amazing how many people we put in heaven at funerals that aren't in heaven. Amen. And we cry them into heaven, we sing them into heaven, we preach them into heaven, but they're not in heaven. Somebody just made this statement to me recently, because another preacher, I don't know who it was, made it to him. But he told me, he said, a preacher just told him recently, he said, if we pray, he said, we pray, here's what he said, we pray more for people to keep them out of heaven when they're dying, Christians keep them out of heaven when they're dying, than we do for sinners who are going to hell. And that, think about that. We pray, when you have a loved one that's passing away, you don't want that, do you? I'll put up my hand. I wouldn't want to see my wife go before me, brother, you know. I don't care if I go before her, praise the Lord, amen. I'd rather go together, you know, but it probably ain't going to happen that way, you know. And I'm too mean and ornery. And she said, you're probably going to outlive me just because you're so mean and ornery. My doctor told me you should have been dead 3 times by now. My brother looked at me and said, it should have been 4. I said, what, are they going to shoot me or something? He said, all the time you walk off that roof when we were kids, you were out doing something you shouldn't have been doing. You land on your head, amen. I've been right since, amen. I'm just simply saying, you believe that eternal life only comes from Christ and from him alone, because that's the only way you can get saved, is through Jesus Christ, amen. He's the only name given whatsoever, but we must be saved. The name of what? Jesus, amen. I preached a whole series 1 week in Connecticut, Pastor, years ago, and started out on Sunday morning and on Jesus, about Jesus, and I got Sunday night, and the Lord brought me back to Jesus. On Monday night, the Lord brought me back to Jesus. On Tuesday night, the Lord brought me back to Jesus. How many questions can you preach on Jesus? You can preach the rest of your life on Jesus and never exhaust the subject of Jesus in the Bible, amen. And then I preached on Thursday night about Jesus. I preached on Friday night about Jesus. And the pastor got up, and after I was all done, at the end of the week, he said, Mike, he said, you can never preach too much about Jesus, amen. Well, we had a great meeting, great result. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one who will save you. He's the one who will help you. He's the one who will strengthen you. He's the one who will lift you up when you're down. He's the one who will, man, he's the one to save the convict, state pen, amen. He's the one to save me, and he can save you, amen. I hope you know Jesus is your Savior. I see all your heads I see. I don't hear rocks rattling, so I know you're smarter. You're smarter than I look, amen. So I see, but your heads are going like this. I know you're in agreement, amen. Because of what Jesus has done in your life, amen. Boy, and we ought not to be afraid to. We ought not to be afraid to talk about it to other people. It's Christ. Do you believe that life only comes from Christ, from Him alone, and He's the Son of God, and He is the Christ? And look at me in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, where He makes this statement, 5:20. He says, "And we know that the Son of God has come." And there's a lot more in this text, Pastor, that you can dig out. You're smarter than I am, man. You, Dr. Ed Rice, I'm just showing you he's a lot smarter than me, amen. And, but I don't want him operating on my footnote, man. I'm just saying, amen. I'm not that kind of a doctor. But he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given unto us an understanding we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. The true God and eternal life. So I wrote this down. Do you believe that Jesus is come? Now, that don't sometimes make sense. But that term simply means this, is come. Present, having come. He is here. Amen. He was then, He is now. He is here. All is full of Him. All is full of His incarnation, work, and abiding presence. And which to you and I ought to be and should be a very living fact. Amen. He should influence you on a daily basis as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, on a daily basis, when am I not being influenced by Christ? Well, let me tell you. If I'm not in this, I'm not being influenced by the Lord. On Sundays, if I'm not in church, I'm not being influenced by the Lord. On Wednesdays, if I'm not in church, I'm not being influenced by the Lord. In revival meetings, if I'm not in church, I'm not being influenced by the Lord. Amen. I don't want some preacher influencing me, amen. I want the Word of God to influence me. I want this to speak, amen, to my heart. I get to preach in a number of camp meetings throughout the year, Pastor, and I tell you, I've been to some camp meetings. I heard a guy a while back that he started hot and heavy from the beginning, and he preached for 45 minutes and never slowed up, sweat like crazy, and top of his lungs the whole time. Not a screamer, but just, and everything he said was just precise and correct. And not a mean bone in his body. Man, what a preacher he was. I heard him up in Michigan this year. And I got to preach with him that week at that meeting. And he wore me out just watching the poor guy. I had a preacher friend of mine tell me a while back. He said, "Well, that's how you used to preach for a while." Not anymore. I mean, I get too old to do that now, you know. He said, "But, you know, I'm just simply saying that I heard this guy preaching, man, just, and God spoke to my heart as he's preaching." And I thought, I never thought of that. He said something, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I just never thought of it that way. Boy, the Lord dealt with my heart. So the altar call was given, and before the pastor even gave the altar call, he just said, "Bow your head." I was at the altar, amen, brother. Because, why? Because I need that. When the Lord speaks to our heart, we need to be obedient to God as the children of God. That we don't push the Holy Spirit out, that we don't quench the Holy Spirit of God, that we don't put out that fire that He's putting into our heart, that we might do what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ. I had a church one time that I was in a camp up in Michigan years ago. I was a camp preacher for the whole summer, and a friend of mine ran the camp. But I had staff members getting saved that year, brother. It was a phenomenal year of camp for us up there. And he had a wilderness camp one week where they had two rivers that came together at the property. They had the Sugar River and the Tittabawassee River in Michigan. And then they were on the other peninsula across the rivers, and so they were going to have a wilderness camp over there. So they had some teenagers stay for that week, and we were set up tents, and there were just a handful of them, you know. That I go over there every morning, swap my skeeters, you know, and preach, you know, in the evening and in the morning, you know, and stand there like this the whole time, and you'd think there was something wrong with me, you know, that I couldn't keep my hands down. And so I'd be over there, but there was another Baptist group in Michigan, and there's a number of different Baptists out there. And this Baptist group asked me if they were going to rent a camp for the week, because they just rented it out if they're not using it, you know. And they asked me, they said, would you come and preach for our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders for the week? And I said, well, I won't unless I meet with you first, amen. So they came, and I should. And now listen, ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm not against ladies involved in the ministry. Please understand this. And all, but it was nothing but five women that met with me. That was it, you know. Where were their husbands, you know? Where were the pastors of the church? And it was on a Saturday. I mean, that just, so something just wasn't adding up to me very good, you know. And not against ladies ministering and helping and doing what they need. I'm not, no, don't get mad at me. Just hear me, amen. So I meet with these ladies, and they said, well, if you have our teenager, or if you have our children in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade for a week, well, you're going to preach this. Well, I think I'll preach on the that week. I had a series of messages on the five giants that David slew in his life. You know, Ishbibi, Nob, Saph, the six-fingered giant, the Goliath, and there was one more in there. His name just skipped my mind, amen. There was five of them. And so I said, I'll just preach on that. Well, what do you preach about on them? You know, well, you got the giant of pride, you know, you got the giant of lust. Well, lust? How are you going to preach to fourth, fifth, and sixth graders about lust? I said, well, listen. I said, now, lust is anything that we desire so strongly in our lives that we are willing to turn our back on God to do it. That's what lust is, amen. It's not just a sexual thing. It's deep-seated in our hearts, amen. Concupiscence. What a word. Good night. Couldn't they come up with a shorter word? But you know what that word means? You break it down, it means a deep-seated lust after lustful things. That's what it comes back to, amen. That's the thought that I get in my mind when I read that word. A deep-seated lust for lustful things. So I said, that's what we will focus in on. And I said, I'll talk about salvation, you know, all week. And then I said, every time I preach, I talk about and deal with the subject of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And she looked, and one lady goes like this. She backs up a little bit. She said, you're one of them? I said, you're not. It was. Now you have the American Baptist Convention, and you have the Southern Baptist Convention. You've got the regular Baptist Convention. You've got all these different groups out there, you know. But this group was a Northern Baptist. I've never heard of them before in my life. We have them up north, you know, up in Michigan. You might have some around here. I don't know, but they do not hold traditionally to eternal security. That just shocked me. Amen. So I said, well, let me let you off the hook real easy, because if I can't preach it, I won't come, amen. And so I never preached the camp for him, because I'm not going to. He said, well, you can't preach without preaching it. No, amen. That's a doctrine, yeah. Amen. And when you get children convinced that they're saved, and if they've been saved, and you get them convinced about their salvation, they won't be to the altar every week getting saved over and over and over again. So I would deal with that continually with them, that this is a true doctrine of the Word of God. And man, I have my scripture together. I tell you what, man, I think they were glad I didn't preach for them, amen, that week. But do you believe that He is come? He's full, incarnation, full of us, and we love Him, we think of Him. If you believe these things, then, according to this text, if you believe these things about Jesus Christ, then I'm going to focus in on a couple of thoughts here. Then there should be some fruit that will come forth out of your life. Amen. There should be some fruit that will come forth out of your life. Let's look at the first one with me, if you would, please, and we will look at we're going to look at a couple of different ones in here. But verse 2 and 3 of chapter 5. He said, by this we know, if you believe that He is a Christ, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? And keep His what? Keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, I love that. I love that last word in those two verses, grievous. He said, His commandments, you know what that means? His commandments are not hard for you to obey. It's not hard to read your Bible. It's not hard to pray. It's not hard to love the brethren. It's not. We make it hard, but He makes it easy. Why? How does God make it easy for us to do those things? Because of the Holy Spirit of God that took up residence in you at the moment of your salvation. When you got saved, Jesus Christ came in. When you got saved, that's what makes all the difference. How many of you, when you got saved, you I know we're Baptists, understand. I know, and I know we're independent, fundamental Baptists. And look, didn't it feel good when you got saved?
Yeah,
amen? Man, when I got saved, I tell you what, I got off my knees in that cell, brother, and I ain't been the same since, amen. And boy, God's just, he's been so good to me in my life. And it still feels good to be saved. I can't help but talk about him over and over and over and over again to people, amen. But the Bible tells me I need to obey the word. So what, when he takes up residence, he makes it easy for me to obey him. The problem is the flesh fights that spirit continually, amen. And we just need to come back to the spirit and do what's right as the children of God, that we might obey the very word of God. So if you believe these things about Jesus Christ, and a fruit in your life should be one, that you obey the very word of God. You're obedient to it. I didn't say you're perfect. You're not perfect, amen. I've tried to convince my wife that I am, but I'm not, amen. So, and she would be the first to tell you that. A while back, we were in Adrian, Michigan, where we bought that little house now, Pastor, you know. And we haven't owned anything in over 40. We sold our house 43 years ago and went into the ministry and never looked back. Now we had to buy something because she's getting old. I'm older than she is, amen. So bought that place and it's settling down. And we were in Adrian, and I was at my favorite place to be in Adrian that I'm at probably at least once a week is Walgreens drive-through pharmacy. Anybody know about those? Amen. The Walgreens. I mean, every time I turn around, I'm at the pharmacy for this. Or I had to pack my stuff there. Good night, preacher. I had to have a bag for all my medication that I had to take now, you know. And the medication the doctor wants me to take that I don't want to take, amen. And then the medication that I was supposed to take that I haven't taken, I had to bring it all with me, amen. Just say, you know, what a mess it is. And so we're pulling out of Walgreens, and she says, I want to go to Jimmy John's. You have a Jimmy John's out here. It's like a Subway. You know, it's like a Subway. Only there, she says, I want to go to Jimmy John's, and I would like, for lunch, and I would like to have an unwich. You know, you can wrap it in lettuce all you want, but if it ain't got bread on it, I don't want it. But an unwich is a sandwich, a regular sub sandwich wrapped in a big leaf of lettuce. And she loves those things. They're pretty good, but I like that. You know, give me a slice of bread with that or something, man. And so she says, we're pulling out, and I'm going to take a left hand out of the parking lot there. She says, you know you need the honey list. I said, I know where Jimmy John's is. I go by there almost every day when I come into town for something, you know, working on the house and doing other things. I know right where it's at. So we're going down the road, and she says, but you know, and I said, Danny, please. You know, now I'm embellishing a little bit, you know, so stop, you know. No, I said, you know, I know, okay. So we're going down the road, guess what? It wasn't there. So I'm driving, and then I remember where it's at. So now I'm driving my truck. She's sitting next to me. And I think I had the van at the time. And I'm driving, and she's sitting next to me. And I said, well, you were right, and I was wrong. And I'm not looking at her. And she says, what did you say? And I said, I was right, and you were wrong. And I said, you were right, and I was wrong. And when I said I was right, and you were right, and I was wrong, and I'm looking, then this when I said wrong, I'm looking at her, and she's videotaping this. And she sends it to every one of my stinking grandkids and all our family, you know. And I think some of our friends got a hold of it, and I haven't heard the end of it since. Now, let me tell you another one. That happened 2 times in 3 days. Not the same story, but the picture thing, you know, like that. I tell you, she's holding records again. I hate taking cell phones, amen. I'm just saying. But obey the word. We just simply need to obey the word and do what's right as believers in Jesus Christ, amen. And look at verse 4 and 5. He makes this statement. For whoever is born, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So if you believe these things and you've been saved by the very grace of God, you don't only obey the word, but you're able to overcome the world. What does it mean to overcome the world? Here's what it means. It means that the world's influence does not control me anymore. The world's the outside influence of the house of God, the outside influence of the world, the outside influence of the Bible does not control my life anymore. So I don't have to. There's some things that... And don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching against our government, although they're a mess right now, amen. But simply this, if the government passed a law and said, like it did in China many, many years ago, that you're only allowed to have one child. And that's what China did. And so they took women in China who got pregnant a second time, and they were putting them in forced labor camps to lose the baby, making them work. Now, I don't know if they're doing that yet today, but that was back in the 70s and 80s and the 90s. That stuff was going on. And so my thought was this: if our government ever passed a law like that, I'm going to have as many children as God will give me, amen. I would disobey the law. Why? Because that law goes against the very word of God. I tried to find a law that would state in the Bible, or a verse in the Bible that would state, thou shalt not wear a seatbelt. And I hate stinking seatbelts, but I can't find one, amen. I can't find one. I can't find a seatbelt law. I tried, or a seatbelt verse. I tried. I found a verse that says that I can wear suspenders and a belt. You know, somebody, amen, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where he says, two are better than one, amen. For if one falleth, he hath another to help him up. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up, amen. And if I can find that one, that proves that I can do it, amen. But you got to try, you know, look, we just need to not allow the world to influence our thinking, the world to influence our mannerism, the world to influence our life. By the way, listen. You have overcome. You should be an influence in the world. And we're losing that today. The church is no longer influencing the world like we once did, amen. And not saying all those who influenced the world who said they were Christians were great men of God, or that they did what was right sometimes, but I'm just simply saying we need to come back to the very word of God and allow not the world to influence us. Don't let the world change you, amen. And if the world doesn't change, then the world, listen, this world's a mess. It's a mess today. Our country's a mess today. Our states are a mess today, amen. And they're going to remain a mess until Jesus comes back, amen. The more of a mess it gets, the more excited I get, because he's not far from being on the scene, come to take us out of here. I'm looking forward to that. Now look what he says in verse 6 with me, through verse 10. He says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, amen. That's Jesus, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He said, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water. I believe that deals with his earthly birth, Pastor. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. And the blood, amen. They agree in one, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth him not, or God hath not made, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So look what he says again there in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So if we believe these things about Jesus, amen, then we need to obey the word. We need to overcome the world. We need to do what's right and stand what's right. And we've obtained a witness. We've obtained a witness. You have the witness within you to be a witness in the world. Here's the witness. A changed life. A changed life. Trust me. You're glad I'm not today what I was 48 years ago when I got saved. Amen. And I'm glad, I know, Brother Dave, you weren't around at that time yet, amen, but not far from it, amen, and I'm glad, Brother Dave, I didn't know you before you were saved. Because why? Now you have this witness within yourself. The witness is Jesus Christ. And that witness is Jesus Christ. Sometimes we make the statement, and you've heard me say this, I believe, here before, maybe. We say the statement, he has ruined his testimony, she's ruined his testimony. I'm going to ruin my testimony if I'm not careful. Can I tell you what? It's not our testimony. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ and what he has done in a broken life to bring them to a point of salvation, where now their life changes and now they're willing to obey and follow him in the Word of God. That's the witness, amen. The witness of Jesus Christ in you. Christ in me, amen. Is that what song we sang earlier tonight? Christ in me, amen. Christ in you, Christ in me. That's what we ought to hold on to. Look at verse 14 and 15. Not only do we need to obey the word and overcome the world and obtain the witness. Now, this is, I got three O's and I got four C's. I preached this to my son-in-law's church, and he said, if you came up with a D, it'd be OCD. Amen. He said, my son-in-law is a alliterative preacher. Everything he does is alliterated. Amen. But we need to obtain the witness, and then we need to have confidence. Look at verse 14 and 15. Confidence in Christ. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. So, how many times have you ever prayed, maybe, and you never, don't put up your hands, but your prayer didn't get answered the way you wanted to get answered? Amen. Let me show you how your prayer gets answered the way that you pray sometimes. When your desire in your heart becomes what God desires for you, your desires change. Amen. All of a sudden, there's no selfish desire anymore. Your desires change. And now, God, you will get the desires of your heart when you pray. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it happen. I've seen it work that way. Amen. There are some things I've prayed about not realizing at the time, but probably selfishly and probably pridefully, Pastor. Amen. You know, and some things I prayed and I wasn't seeing results. And I asked God, I was asking God why. And so God had to bring me to a point where I recognized the fact that I was praying what I wanted to pray, but I wasn't really desiring what God had the desire for me. Well, I tell you what, I want to make sure that I'm on the Lord's side, amen. Make sure I'm going in the right direction. So obey the word, overcome the world, obtain the witness, have confidence in Christ. Believe Him, amen. When He says He will help you and take care of you and meet your needs, believe Him, He will do that. I'm telling you, my friend. And then look at verse 16 and 17. He said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. The sin unto death. Somebody said, man, what is that sin unto death? Those things when people are doing it, they're not stopping, they're continuing on, living in wicked, ungodly lifestyles. And 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are written to born-again believers. Amen. I believe he's talking about believers, Pastor, that live in such an inconsistent way with the things of the teachings of Jesus Christ, besmirking the name of God, and that God says, that's enough. And He takes them out of this world. And he's saying, I'm saying, don't pray for that. Amen. That's what the John says. Don't pray for that. Don't make that your prayer. He says, but we need to do it. If a man see a brother sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life in them. Otherwise, pray for that individual. But don't pray in a mannerism to get rid of them. He said, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So that means when we sin, we do something wrong. It's not a habit in your life, a continual habit over and over and over and over again, doing the same thing and always going to the altar and never getting it taken care of between you and God. Amen. Never giving it to Him 100%. We need to give it to Him 100% because it's going to come a day, maybe God will say, that's enough. I'll take a person out of here. I know young people, I'm afraid. I've watched them in their lives sometimes. And they're a lot longer here. Some who denied Jesus Christ. I had a friend, my brother and I, just with my brother last week, that we're in Northeast Ohio. He's not serving the Lord anymore, not going to church anymore. And it's sad, amen, but I'm next to him. And finally, after the last couple of years, Pastor's been asking me to pray about things. Would you pray about this for me? Would you pray? Well, yeah, I'll pray, amen. Pray you get your stinking heart right, but God, no, I'm not saying that, amen. Just pray for him, amen. I do. And just had a great time. But we were talking. There was a friend that we grew up with, and he was mean to his parents when he was. I never heard a kid of 15, 16 years old talk to his mom and dad the way that he did. This wicked, ungodly attitude towards them. I mean, he was filthy language in front of them and about them. And his dad was a bank manager, you know. And when he was 15 years old, his dad bought him a .357 pistol for his birthday. At 15 years old. So, something ain't right, amen. And he'd go out in his garage in the middle of town, and he'd be shooting the thing in the garage, and bullets would be flying out the back of that garage. What went right, amen? A friend of mine one time was coming back. In fact, my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, was going with a group of young people to Cleveland, Ohio, the Baptist Bible Institute. And they were driving back and forth together. And they broke down one night, so they stopped at a little restaurant in Northeast Ohio. And he was sitting at the counter, and a friend of mine by the name of Fred, who's a preacher out in Washington State today, took his Bible and he went in. Wherever Fred went, he always had his Bible with him. He went and he sat down next to Warren, and he opened the Bible up like this, next to Warren sitting there on that counter, and everybody else was sitting at their chairs, and he just starts talking to Warren. He said, Warren, he said, the Bible says, yada yada, the Bible says, yeah. He said, do you believe what the Bible, after about 15 minutes, do you believe what the Bible says? He said, I believe that about Christ. He said, well, would you like to put your faith and trust in him tonight and call upon him to be your Savior? He said, no. He said, what's stopping you? What would stop you from doing that? And he made this statement. He said, if what you say is true, then on my deathbed, before I die, I will ask Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sin. You know, if what you say is true, then he will forgive me. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that so he also reap. Amen. And I believe right there is a mockery. That's a mockery of God. Now, I'm not saying people can't get saved on their deathbed. I've seen people get saved on their deathbed. I've heard them right after they pray take their last breath. Amen. But I'm just simply saying people can get saved that way. But he was sitting there, and when he made that statement to Fred, Fred said, what are you going to do if tonight you leave this restaurant tonight and you're on your way home and you got hit by a train and you didn't have a chance for a deathbed confession? What will you do? And Warren looked at Fred and he said, well, he said, I'll take my chances. And I tell you, within the next, within just a few days or a week, no longer than that, later, he was going down a hill in Ashtabula, and he had the radio up so loud he said he didn't hear the train, and he was trying to beat the train. I mean, he was just flying, and he got broadsided and killed him instantly in that train accident. Why? Because he denied. I believe God's not going to be mocked. Amen. I believe he won't be mocked. We need to have concern for the brethren. We need to have concern for the world. Amen. We need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18 to 19. He said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now watch, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's that perpetual sin, over and over, living in wickedness and ungodliness, over and over and over and over again. And he said that is not consistent with being a born-again believer. It's the Bible saying that, not me. Amen. We need to come back and believe what the Word of God says. He said, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Keepeth himself. And we need to continue, here's what I wrote down, continue in righteousness. Amen. We need to continue in righteousness and believe in Jesus Christ. Keepeth ourselves. Keep ourselves from those things that will hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep us in a right relationship with him. Why? Because he is God. And then verse 21, I wrote this down. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And he says, amen. I wrote down simply, constrain yourself. Just constrain yourself. You know, there's some things that we need to constrain ourselves from and hold ourselves back from, that we might not walk off in wickedness and walk off in things that are not right. Amen. How many of you have ever had to bite your tongue? Anybody here besides me? Amen. I'm not talking about from filthy language or anything, but sometimes things just go on, and you just like to say, would you just straighten up, you know, grab them around the neck and squeeze a little bit until their face turns purple, you know, and their ears turn, start to fall off their head. I mean, how many of you ever want to, you know, some people make you want to do that to them, amen. And, but, you know, we need to, you didn't do it. Why? You constrained yourself. And sometimes you want to say something to somebody because, and it's not the right time. So you constrain yourself. Well, we need to constrain ourselves from sin in the world as believers in Jesus Christ. There are some places I just will not go in past. I won't do it. I'm hard-headed. I'm not beating those up with going in. I know guys have gone walking into bars and witnessed to people in a bar, you know. I won't do it. I won't do it. I mean, I was a drunk for years, a number of years before I got saved. And the druggie before I got saved, there's places I'm not going to go. There's places I don't want to be involved with. Amen. I can witness to a drunk on the street corner. I can witness to a drug addict. I can witness to prostitutes. You give me a witness, I can witness to anybody. But I'm not going to put myself in that position where I'm going to be involved with them. Amen. We need to constrain ourselves as the children of God. Why? Because we say we believe what the Scriptures teach about Christ. We believe these things. Well, there should be a lifestyle and a witness and a fruit that comes from what we believe. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I need that sometimes in my own life. I need to remind myself of this over and over and over and over again. Amen. Maybe when we get up tomorrow, we ought to pray and say, Lord, remind me again today. Remind me today who I am. Remind me today what I'm supposed to do. Remind me today what I'm supposed to be like. Amen. And God would have all the glory, and He would have all the honor. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Two simple questions tonight. You know, if you've ever been here, and if you're not, you'll know it now. Every time I finish, I ask the first question is this: are you saved? I wouldn't do this, but if I did, I want you to think about your answer. Don't give me an answer. Just think about your answer. If you're walking out the door, and if I asked you, if you died, would you go to heaven? What would your answer be to me? I hope it's not maybe. I hope it's not I just think so. I hope it's not know so. Amen. Because if you ask me that question, I know in whom I believe. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And if you don't, it's that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, you can know for sure. Is there anybody tonight with an upraised hand and say, Mike, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know for sure about my salvation? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Just stick it up in the air. I don't see any hands. Second question is this: Mike, would you just pray for me? Second thought. Some ask more than two questions. Second thought is this: Mike, would you just pray for me? Because there's some things that you touched on tonight that the Lord showed me. Maybe the Lord showed you something that I didn't even touch on. Amen. Maybe He showed you something I didn't even touch on. But you touch on something tonight where the Lord has spoken to my heart. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about right now? Hands in the air. God bless you. God bless you. Others, how about it? Father, I thank you for these who slipped up their hand tonight. You know their heart. You know their desire. You know their need, Father. And Father, I pray that you would have your will accomplished here this evening, Father, in this invitation time, God. Help, Lord, as we give you the praise and the thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Time of invitation again, and just in place. God stuck on your heart, and something will want to bring you again. Just bring Him. Songbook 57. close with again that search me, oh God, and let's make that our prayer. Just the first verse. Let's stand. Appreciate again the message tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's let God use that. Use His word. Won't return void. Praise the Lord. Let God search you. Number 57. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Appreciate again the Alpha Revival Service. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Let me share with us just before you leave. Brother Mike preached at camp, and my granddaughter was out there. And when we was out in Ohio, I was a youth pastor, and we had a young lady named April Young. I don't know her married name now, but April Young was in our youth group, and grew again for the years, and we were out there. What a joy again, and what the memories that we had. We rehearsed a bunch of them whenever we go out to Anchor Baptist. She's going to Anchor Baptist, where my son's pastor now. And last week, my granddaughter, Christine, led her son, her daughter to the Lord at camp. What a blessing again. And we just marveled in that. We loved that. And again, they loved Brother Patterson at camp. What a blessing. Amen. Where they taught the lesson about belts and suspenders. And all, all right, so good to be here. Meet the Woods again if you haven't. Again, before you leave tonight, and welcome tonight. We're so glad you come out to us, and let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, thank you. We love you. Pray that you bring us back at the appointed time. Touch our day, Father, that we walk and talk different even because of what we've heard and seen here on this day. Thank you for the worship of your Son that we've seen in this place. And pray again, Father, that you help that we could carry that with us even as we step into a new week on this first day of the week. And we'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.